It's going to be joined by the 2011 US Open champion, 2010 French Open finalist. The resume goes on and on. We'll get into that a little bit later on with Sam Stosur. So it's going to be magnificent to have Sam alongside me to call all the action, someone that knows Ash Barty extremely well. But one name that I walk past every day to get down to our little bunker here is Chris O'Neill, 1978 Australian Open champion. It's quite an extraordinary story of how she actually did it. She's come down from Port Macquarie, and we're lucky enough for her to join us right here in the box. Chris, welcome to you. I've got to say, how good is this view?
Amazing. Thank you, Brett, for having me here, and to everyone for having me here. This is, yeah, incredible. Just so close to the players, and obviously different perspective on speed, on all of it. It's great.
Now, when we come down to this bunker, I've been coming down to this bunker for about 10 years, and, of course, we walk up into the corridor, all the Australian Open champions of the past, and you happen to be right at the door. So I've been walking past you for about a decade. So it's actually lovely to meet you in person.
Yes, you too.
Port Macquarie's home?
Port Macquarie's home. I've been up there for about 7 years. It was a lifestyle change to go there and sort of semi-retire.
I want to go back. I mean, 1978, I mean, you are a trivia question that everyone loves to answer, and some, you know, have sort of short memories, and they go, 1978, who did win back then? And then you go back through the records, Chris O'Neill. I imagine you would love to be able to, you know, hand the baton on at some point. It's a nice thing to have, absolutely, and that'll be never taken away. But to hand the baton over to someone like an Ash Barty would be, I imagine, a great feeling, just the way she carries herself. My understanding is you haven't met Ash, is that correct?
No, I haven't met her yet. I'd love to, and hope to do so. Look, I'm just really excited that we have an Aussie with such a great shot at, you know, breaking this drought.
Mm.
And, you know, particularly with somebody like Ash, who is a fantastic tennis player and also, you know, seemingly a wonderful person. So as much as I've enjoyed it and the fun I've had with it, I think I'm ready.
1978, Kooyong. Chris, I go to Kooyong quite a bit. I only live about 5 minutes down the road, and I'm lucky to have a membership at Kooyong. MC quite a few functions, go to lunch there, but I never went to the Australian Open at Kooyong. But take me back to 1978. You became the first unseeded woman to win the AO in the Open era, and then, of course, Serena did it, ranked, 81 in the world back in 2007. But take us back for those that weren't around then, and the 1978 Australian Open and how it all unfolded for you.
Well, it's completely different to today. There's not anything that's similar, really. As you said, you know, different court surface, grass, which suited my game. I was pretty much a serve volleyer. And, it was unexpected for me. As you said, I was unseeded. And I had worked really hard in preparation. I'd come back early that year and spent a lot of time working hard in preparation. And I guess as the tournament went on, you know, I wasn't as surprised as in the beginning because I was feeling more confident.
Yep.
Very, very proud of it and actually really fortunate to have hung on to it for this long.
So you beat Betsy Nagelson on the day. Can you close your eyes and take back centre court Kooyong on that day? Just the atmosphere when you walked out, just the whole environment. What was it like?
It was the first time that I'd played in a major final. So indeed it was it was pretty breathtaking. But I managed to get through it correctly. So yes, it was as I said, I wasn't in a major final before, so it was brand new.
How much did it change your life being a Grand Slam champion?
It enabled me to, because we didn't earn a lot of money then, it enabled me to continue to travel and to continue to compete. And it did give me a little bit of confidence. But look, apart from that, my life didn't change greatly.
And So post playing, just take us through your involvement in tennis. Obviously, there was some coaching that you did along the way. So tennis, we call it the sport for life, Chris. So it tends to stay in the DNA, whether you go from player to coach or player, some go into commentary or some find a role in tennis because they just they love the sport that much.
Yeah. Well, it's now a hobby for me. I teach very little now, but I have, been in coaching for many years, probably 35 years. I love to teach. I love the fact that we were in a different game style and different everything, different racket technology, different, less top spin. And so that was my game that I learnt. But then I relearned how to teach the new game. And I love technique. I love pulling things to pieces and working on how to make change. And, I've met some particularly great kids over the years where, they haven't certainly become professionals, but they've learnt some fabulous life lessons and are really, solid human beings now, which makes me very proud.
Yeah, there's more to just the sporting results, isn't it? What sport can do for you, being in that environment. So you talk about technique. I imagine you love, like all of us, just watching Ash Barty play. It's a bit of a throwback to tennis in your era. Just when you're courtside sitting Ash, just take me through your own thoughts of her game.
Well, her variety, absolutely. I hear that she learnt her slice backhand from her first coach at a very young age, which, she's now using unbelievably offensively and, dismantling players' games. But so it is the variety. She would seem that she's done a lot of hard work on a serve because the serve is faster and the placement is better, and then she follows it up with her big forehand. But it all culminates with her attitude and to put it all together, to bring it all together, and I think that's what she does so well. She looks calm, she looks confident, she looks happy.
Yep.
So, look, I'm really hoping that, that will be the same tonight.
I imagine, like all of us, Chris, you would love her humility to her sense of perspective. I mean, no one will ever know what anyone's feeling on the inside, but from the outside, she looks like she's just in a really, really good space. I mean, she comes out here tonight, and some would phrase it as, with a weight of expectation on her shoulders, but you'd never know it with Ash. She seems to have great perspective on all of that. It doesn't seem to be weighing on her the sense of occasion.
No, well, as you said, you never really know what's going on inside, but I think that with her team, I think she does a lot of work on that to give herself the ability to use her skills. And for a young person, I mean, she's only 25 years old, but very mature and very, very smart, obviously.
The juniors were out here earlier. You won the AO juniors in 1973. What are your recollections of that? Because often those who win the juniors do go on to have an impact in the pros.
Yeah, well, I think there's only a few players who've actually done that. Yes, I beat my best mate in the final of the juniors, a girl at that stage called Jenny Walker.
Yep.
I remember that pretty vividly on court two at outside, on court two at Kooyong. But again, different, just completely different, different era altogether.
Mm. It's evolved a lot, hasn't it? I mean, Billie Jean King and the ladies around her at the time who got the WTA Tour underway to now create all these opportunities and the earning possibilities for so many down the ecosystem. It's evolved into a truly professional game.
Absolutely. I mean, Billie Jean King was the pioneer for all of that. And then it's just progressed into, as it's expanded in terms of countries playing, the number of players that play in countries and the depth of field throughout. So the game's grown enormously, and obviously prize money's grown, so it brings people into the sport. But yeah, look, pretty tough to get out there and make a living out of it today.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you love though the one-on-one sort of gladiatorial nature of tennis as opposed to team sports? Did you play a combination of sports and then choose tennis? Was tennis always the sport for you because you love that sort of one-on-one battle where it was you, just you out there and having to try and survive and problem solve and win?
Not so much that. I actually had quite a lot of success as a junior, and my dad loved it, and, you know, so that's how it started. Just in terms of being a singular sport, though, I actually probably had better results with doubles. Mm. So, look, I think I'd say I enjoyed doubles more. It's good to get a bit of help out there.
That's right. That's a good point, because we've seen the doubles put into a bigger spotlight at this year's Australian Open. So Kyrgios and Kokkinakis have certainly altered just the scheduling of the doubles draw. And, I mean, for mine, Chris, I would love to see the doubles become more prominent at the majors and around the world. I often think it's sort of the afterthought. You know, we're putting it after the singles all the time, whereas most people recreationally play doubles.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's a fantastic game. There's obviously a lot of finesse involved. And even mixed doubles, you know, presents another set of dynamics that I think are interesting.
Did you enjoy that back in the day when, I suppose, your era allowed you to play all three? I mean, the physicality sort of 40 years on, it, particularly for the men, it seems like it's so much harder now to be able to play singles, doubles, even entertain playing mix. I mean, no one really does it these days.
No. And that's why I think there's become double specialists, people who just play and, you know, make a living out of doubles. And then, you know, certainly the top players, because of that physicality, they're not able to. Not if they're concentrating on their singles.
We're lucky enough to be joined by Chris O'Neill tonight, ahead of the women's final. Of course, the winner, the last Australian winner, male or female, back in 1978, of course, at the famous Kooyong Lawn Tennis Club, which is still the spiritual home of Australian tennis, still a very special place. When was the last time you got to Kooyong? Do you have a venture there when you sort of get down to Melbourne?
Probably about 10 years ago. They actually gave me a membership. It's a beautiful club, so you're in the right place there. So it was probably about 10 to 12 years ago. Yeah.
Okay, you'll have to come back because they've just done a massive redevelopment.
Oh,
Chris,
really? Another one?
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're putting more car parking because they've got that many members.
Wow.
I need to be able to fit in. And everyone wants to play at the same time. So, it's an incredible, incredible facility.
Yeah.
So when you look at this final tonight, I don't know how much you've watched of Danielle Collins. I mean, there's sort of very contrasting styles out there tonight. What do you think?
I'm hoping that Ash will be able to do the same. Obviously, Daniel Collins is a big hitter of the ball flat, but what Ash has been able to do is diffuse that power, and with, you know, tactically with a slice backhand. So I think if she can do that again, I think it's a very hard game to play against because a lot of these players don't play like that. So, you know, they get out onto the court and they've got not only the number one player in the world who's confident, but they've got a game style that they're confronting that's completely different to the one that, you know, they've played up until the final. So, look, again, I'm hoping, I think, you know, I'm thinking that my money's on her, on Ash.
You feel like she can find a way. She problem solves so well and go to plan B, C,
absolutely,
and D.
Absolutely.
Can I ask you, when you were playing, what was your favourite shot that you loved to play? Because everyone's got a shot that would just feel probably better off the strings than any other shot.
Yeah, probably volley. I was a serve volley player.
Yep.
You know, I was obviously tall as a junior, so I was pushed into the net. But also we played on faster court, lower bouncing court surfaces. So, yeah, probably my volley was the more dangerous weapon.
I think we love seeing that style of tennis. We saw it on the men's side, Maxine Cressy, coming in all the time. Sam Groth in the latter part of his career. More of that, please.
Yeah, it's unusual, isn't it? Well, it's just good to have variety.
Mm.
Yeah.
So what? So you're going to leave us now. It's the pre-match. I mean, do you feel any sort of nerves tonight, just the sense of occasion, or are you just going to sit back and relax and enjoy?
I'm doing the pre-match. I get to pick up the trophy again and perhaps have it in my hands for one last time and carry it out on the court and be in that environment. So I'm very much looking forward to that and to obviously watching Ash.
Well, we hopefully can add Ash Barty's name to the Daphne Akhurst Trophy tonight. Chris, really appreciate you coming in. Congratulations again. 1978, I was only 4 years of age at the time, so...
Go away.
I don't know I don't know how much I took in. Maybe Mum and Dad had it on at home, but I have gone back and watched some footage, and it's great to go down memory lane with you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chris. What an absolute treat to have Chris O'Neill here in the bunker. She's going to be front and square in about an hour's time, lifting the Daphne Akhurst trophy, putting it into the middle of Rod Laver Arena. So